How long has it been since you sung that grand old gospel song? Long time, huh? Well, you know, so many times in our lives, we always ask that question, God, do you remember me? I'm your son, I'm your daughter, and have you forgotten me? I prayed to you too oftentimes. We ask that question of God, have you forgotten me? But the real question is not, has God forgotten us? But the question is, have we forgotten God? Let me personalize it even more. Have you forgotten God? You know, forgetting God is a very serious, serious thing. The prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament made this statement as he prophetically spoke for God. And he said, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a leopard his spots? Yet you have forgotten me day without number. Listen to it. Jeremiah 2 and verse 32. There was that indictment that came from the mouth and the lips of Almighty God that fell upon the heart of this great servant of our Lord, Jeremiah, to write and to prophesy unto the people about their departure from Almighty God. And what a terrible thing it is for us to forget our Maker. But oftentimes in our lives, we do exactly what they did. We have a way of dismissing from our mind the Almighty God of heaven. That's why in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 1, King Solomon challenges young people all over the world in his day, and we challenge them even now with these words as well. Remember now thy Creator. For the rest of that verse says, remember your Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, and you will say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, amnesia is a terrible thing, isn't it? It's closely akin almost to what we call now Alzheimer's. The inability to have instant recall. Sometimes it bothers me. And by the way, you may have problems with your memory as well. I don't know. Sometimes people go to Walmart. How many of you go to Walmart and can't remember where you parked your car? Anybody? Anybody brave enough to say that this morning? Yeah. We all do that, don't we? Now, my wife parks on the same row every time. If there's not a parking place, she just keeps driving around until one comes up. Where she'll be on that same row, she right knows exactly where to go. I shouldn't talk about my wife that way. She's a wonderful person. She really is. Someone said the other day, we ought to be nice to our wives. Someone said to me the other day, whether a man winds up with a nest egg or a goose egg depends on what kind of chick he marries. Well, and that may be true. I know in life, however, many of us have great difficulty in remembering the things that we ought to remember, and we have trouble dismissing from our minds the things that we ought to forget. But there is a thing that we call unholy amnesia. That is forgetting God. Forgetting God. And it is a serious, serious issue. If you were to go to the book of Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 and 11, you would find the admonition from heaven that we are not to forget God. One of the great sins of people in the first century occurred in the book of Romans, chapter 1. It was a great enemy of hope. It still is the great enemy of hope. And it was forgetting God. Have you ever stopped to really consider how terrible it is to forget God? Listen to these passages from the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. God says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you this day. Notice what He says. Do not forget the Lord your God. But too oftentimes in our lives, we take our mind off of God. Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, in verse 9. He says, only take heed to yourself. and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart, he says, from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. Two chapters over, by the way, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, he says you need to teach them to your children when you walk with them in the way. He says when you lie down with them at night, teach them to your children and let them be as frontless before your eyes that they may know what the will of God really is. Listen to this. The things that you have seen, don't depart from. Let them find lodging deep within your heart. You know what? There is only one true God, and He is the one we have gathered in His name this morning. It is true, Jehovah. He is the one that we honor. He is the one of whom Christ spoke in John the 4th chapter and verse 24 when He said that God is His safe spirit, and they that worship Him are to worship Him in spirit and in truth, for such doth the Father seek. There is one God. There is a warning from heaven, however, back in that book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Then it shall be, God says, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and you follow other gods, listen now, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. If you forget and if you depart from your God, you will perish. That's what he says. Forgetfulness is a terrible thing. That's why Jude, in that little book in the New Testament, is only one chapter in that book. But in verse 5, Jude says, God speaking, I will therefore put you in remembrance. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance. We all need to be taught to remember God. What do you remember about God? What do you really remember about? Why do people forget God? I want to share with you this morning a number of things about why people have a tendency to forget God. For the Bible says they did in Romans 1 and verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a reprobate or a debased mind to do what not was what they should not have done. And even as they did not like to retain God, notice that, they didn't want to retain God in their mind, and in their knowledge, God gave them over to that reprobate mind. Let me share with you the things that I think cause what causes people to forget God. Selfishness, number one, is something that causes people to forget God and others as well. Have you ever noticed we live in a self-centered society? Our society is based upon self. Everybody says that you ought to go out and get all the gusto for yourself, whatever you want in life. Think about yourself. If you don't get what self wants, no one else will give it to you. But the Bible says that true love does not seek her own. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. True love. People say they love God. They say they love you. Listen, love is not selfish. It isn't. Love is that which is interested in other people. And the people that you will remember because you nailed self to the cross. And isn't that exactly what Paul taught in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But in our last days, we are living in a time when people are so selfish. They are. You know, you can understand selfishness maybe with little children, how they get in a fight sometimes over a piece of candy, you know, or over any little thing. But in a moment, they've turned around and they're hugging each other. But you know, the danger of selfishness is the fact that sometimes it's hard for us to ever forget. We don't remember the things that we ought to remember. How many times does that look like your home? I hope it doesn't. I have seen marriages like that. I mean, honestly. Well, maybe not with a skillet and a, rolling pin, but I'm telling you, sometimes people feel like they've got to get the last word in. And that's a selfish attitude toward life, isn't it? You don't have to walk on everybody to get where you need to be. Now, a lot of people think, well, I just have to walk on everybody. I'm climbing the ladder of success. Well, if you have to walk on people to get there, you're doing the wrong thing. And selfishness, and I can assure you, is a fantastic way for people to be miserable in life. But there's another thing that causes people to forget God, and that's their pride. Go back to Romans chapter 1. You'll notice that pride was one of the things that caused them to forget God, forgetting the presence of God. If you're really focused on the right thing, you're focused on Him who made you, who created you, and the one who sustains your very life today. You're not thinking about self. Humility. Jesus said, unless you humble yourself and become as that little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 forgot God. But the publican remembered. I was talking about in our Bible class this morning. The publican acknowledged God. He says, be merciful to me, a sinner, O God. But the Pharisee began to talk about all of the wonderful things in his life and how great he was. As I've told you before, he could stand in front of the mirror and sing, how great I am. The publican, however, remembered God. Pride goes before destruction, the scripture says in Proverbs 16, verse 18. And a haughty spirit before fall. Have you ever noticed how true that really is in life? Have you ever seen people that are really haughty? I mean, they got their nose up in the air. If it started raining, they'd drown. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen people like that. They have haughty spirits. They're so filled with pride, they think of no one else. I like this quote. Egotism is the anesthetic that dulls the pain of stupidity. Have you ever noticed that the letter I is right in the big middle of pride? It is, isn't it? And that's why I think it's the greatest of all sins. The devil was so filled with pride. He wanted to be like God. He said, I'll ascend into the heaven and I will be like God. You know, there are a lot of people who have made themselves gods upon this earth. James 4, 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to those who are of a spirit of humility, to those who are humble. We have to swallow our pride sometimes and get back down to earth where we need to be here and start thinking about the right things. One of the things that causes us to forget God is not only pride and not only selfishness, but worry. And I'm going to tell you something. If I hadn't hit you with worry, with pride and selfishness, what about this one? Would anybody in here admit that you are a worrier this morning? I didn't think so. I didn't worry about that too much. But we don't like to admit that we are worriers, and that's why Jesus dealt with it in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. He says, why do you take thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall put on? He said, is not life more than meat and the body the raiment? He said, don't you know that your heavenly Father is up in heaven, and He is ready to provide to you and meet your needs, not your greeds, but He is going to take care of you. Don't worry. People worry more about tomorrow than they're dealing with the complexities of this day. And Jesus said, sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. You know what He's saying? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. And when you worry, you trust in self. And you forget that God is the one who gives to all of us. Jesus says, so why do you worry about clothing? He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, and neither do they spin, he says. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Do you realize that today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday? And God is in control, and worry is the interest paid by those who borrow trouble. Even our nation's founder said that many, many years ago, and is still true today. Worry doesn't just prevent disaster from coming. It can happen. You know, people are already worried about Florence. Anybody know who Florence is? I hope it's not your ex-wife. Florence is a hurricane that is getting ready to hit the East Coast, down in the Carolinas. And people are worried about it. People have been talking about Harvey about a year ago. And we're all, but you know what? Worrying about it's not going to solve it. It's not going to stop her from coming, is it? I learned a long time ago, there's nothing like a woman's wrath. Worry doesn't prevent disaster. It prevents your joy. But there's another thing, and that is envy. Envy causes us to forget God. You know why? Because you're not focused on all your blessings. You're so envious of what someone else has and some what someone else has achieved in life. You're not focused on the right thing. We often forget how blessed we really are. We need to stop and count our many blessings every day. The book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21 teaches us that. Don't forget what God has already given you. But we are often green with envy. I mean, that's their lifestyle. They are so envious of other people. But then there's another one that causes us to forget God. Let me tell you why I put this one. And that's guilt. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, the Bible says that they dismissed God from their mind. You know why they dismissed God from their mind? Because if they could get rid of God in their mind, then they would not feel guilty, because if there's no God, there's no guilt. There's no one telling them that they have done wrong. And that's why the Bible says that God gave them over to a debased mind. We need to do the right thing with guilt. God gave you the mechanism of guilt for a reason. It's like a little bell that goes off in your life when you do wrong. And you know that God wants you to do right. And when we are guilty, we say to God, God, forgive me, help me to do better. But what we do is we run from God. We don't even like to think about God in our mind. For John 3 and 20 says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light. I know why many of the people in the world today hate light. I know why many people in the world today are upset about Judge Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court. They don't like the light. They like evil. They love abortion. They love gay rights. And they want to practice the evil and the base and the ungodly. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not even come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. So our Lord said. By the way, that was Jesus. And he approves this message. We ought to love God with all of our mind. But then number 6. When people get focused on the world, God takes a back seat. And we got a lot of worldly folks in the world. People whose minds are on the world and the things that are of a worldly nature. Their appetite is for things of the world, the things that are wrong. Their cravings are for the wrong things, not the right things. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. First John 2 and verse 15. And Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, unless you forget God. Let me bring you to one that I think is so important also. People forget God in days of prosperity. Do you know that our economy is better than it ever has been in the history of our nation? Now, President Obama, I heard him speak this week, and he said it's just as good as it was back in the last 3 years of his presidency. I don't know about you, but I remember the last 3 years of his presidency. And what I'm telling you now, though, is that things are better. We have more people that are working than have ever worked before. Unemployment is at an all-time low. But you know what happens when people experience prosperity? They have a tendency to forget God. That's why God says to the children of Israel as they're getting ready to go into the promised land, when you go into the promised land, don't forget me. When you are filled with all of those wonderful blessings in the land that flowed with milk and honey, God says, don't forget me. You know, when times are tough, we have a greater dependency upon God. But when things are going well, it's kind of like we don't need God anymore. And it causes people to forget God. And when men prosper, they often dismiss God. That's why Paul, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 10, challenged the early church with these words. He said to charge those that are rich in this world that they be not heady nor high-minded, but those who desire to be rich will fall into a temptation and to a snare. And don't let the abundance of God's gifts cause you to forget Him. You know what? If you've been blessed of God, you ought to thank God every day. And that brings me to that. We have a tendency to forget God. That's why people are so unthankful. It works both ways. Unthankful people don't remember God. People that don't remember God are unthankful. They're thankless. Listen to Romans 1 and 21. Because although they knew God, they knew Him, they didn't glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. Nor were they thankful. You know, we sometimes are thankful at the table, aren't we? But sometimes that's the only time we ever stop and pause in a day's time to even acknowledge that there's a God who's watching over us and blessing us with what we have. Have you ever thought about all the things that you have in your life that they come from God? Gratitude begins where the sense of entitlement ends. You think about that quote. A lot of people say, well, we're entitled to this. We got a lot of folks in the world today and that believe that they are entitled by God to live off the government. Entitlements. But listen to this, gratitude begins where the sense of entitlement ends. I hate to bust your bubble this morning if you think that you're entitled to anything. One young person wrote and expressed her gratitude in this way. Dear Mom, thanks for putting up with a spoiled, ungrateful, messy, bratty child like my sibling. Love, your favorite. I hope that's not your attitude. But number 9, people forget God because they make plans without God. You know, it's amazing to me how people make plans without God. We talk about what we're going to do. You know, James says, you know what? In James 4, verse 13 and 15, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. It's true with marriage. I told you a moment ago, I said, you know, you ought to think about the one that you marry and be happy with that individual. Someone said that some of the big problems in marriage often start when a man gets so busy earning his salt that he forgets his sugar. And that's true, isn't it? You plan to marry. It's true with your career. Did God help you plan your career? Was he even in the picture? Was he in the frame at all? What about your vacations? You leave God at home? Isaiah 48:17, God says, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you for your own good, who leads you in the way that you should go. He is saying, remember me. Number 10, listen, people forget God when they don't read the Holy Scriptures. It's true. You don't read the Bible, it won't be long till you'll forget God. You may be able to quote it today, but the time will come when you quit reading the Bible and you'll say, well, I know it's in there somewhere. Where is that in the Bible? And you'll be so confused about Holy Writ. We have time to read the newspaper. We have time to spend on Facebook. It amazes me how many people are on Facebook. I got off of Facebook the other day. I said, I need to spend more time in Facebook. Have you ever noticed? I thought somebody was talking to me the other day at Walmart. I walked around the corner. I thought they were talking. And they were talking on their stupid cell phone. But have you ever noticed people today? Everybody has one, don't they? They do. And they go around. You can't even carry on a conversation with them. At the table. In the car. They're sitting there. Oh, really? And you're saying, hey, and you lost them a long time ago. Now, that's a great tool. I'm not downing cell phones. I think it's great. But anything can be misused. We have time to attend events, but we don't have time to attend worship. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:13 to the young minister, he said, until I come, I want you to give attendance to reading and to the study of God's eternal word. Satan does not want you to read the Bible. He doesn't. He does everything in the world to get you out of the Bible. Number 11, forget the church. You know what? You want to forget God? Forget the church, the body that he died for. And a lot of people do forget the church, how important the church really, really is. Many people obey the gospel, but they neglect the church. They seldom attend. And so they soon drift back into the world. It happens all the time. I've seen it year after year. 2 Peter 2:20 says in verse 20 through 22, listen to it. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are entangled therein again and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to know the way of truth or righteousness than to know it and then to depart from it or to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And then he draws a real parallel here, pretty graphic. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to its own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. What he says is not enough to clean up on the outside. You got to clean up on the inside. The church is who we are, not where we go. You are the church. I'm the church. And last of all, one of the ways that we have a tendency to forget God is this one. You forget his promises. And you forget your promise. Do you know that when you became a Christian, you promised God? It's a vow. It's kind of like vows that people make in marriage. A promise is a vow. And so what you did when you became a child of God and you became a Christian, you made a promise to God that you were going to live by His teaching. You were going to subscribe to the way of life that will lead you to heaven. And in Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, if a man makes a special promise unto the Lord, or he makes a promise with an oath, he must not break his promise. He must do everything he said that he would do. We promise to live better. And baptism is making a vow unto God. It is. That's what it really is. Romans 12 and verse 1. The Bible teaches that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our spiritual service. But so few in the world today keep their promise to God. Why is it a sin to forget God, last of all? Well, man was created for the glory of God. That's why you were made. You weren't just made and tossed out here on planet Earth just to have a good time. That's not why you're here. That's not to say we can't enjoy life while we're here. Peter said, if a man would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, no deceit. But man was created for the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. The Bible says to fear God, respect Him, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Forget God and you shall surely perish. That's what God says. Forgetting God, terrible thing. David said in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't you ever forget all of His benefits towards you. Some have a bad memory. Let me say it again. Some in our world have a bad, bad memory. And we stray from God. We sing this old hymn, and I asked Wyatt to lead this song this morning. Not in our book. But you know what? All of us at times are prodigals. You know what a prodigal is? It's a wasteful. The word prodigal means wasteful. And we go through life wasting our life. It's like the prodigal son in the book of Luke chapter 15. And we have to come back home to God. When we have forgotten God, it's just as simple as saying, God, forgive me for forgetting You. And ask for restoration. Maybe this morning in this audience are those who need to do that. And this song certainly echoes the sentiment of my heart this morning. And I think the sentiment of heaven as well. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've never been immersed or baptized for the forgiveness of sin, we'd be happy to assist you in making that commitment to Christ, that vow. But don't do it unless you're willing to keep that promise that you make this morning. But don't put your soul in jeopardy and lose it in a devil's hell either. That if you're a Christian and you realize that you've strayed away from God, you've made mistakes, maybe right now, God got you here for this purpose, for this message, at this moment, right now. Let us stand and let us sing.